I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. I just wanted to let you know that this episode of Vermont Edition has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In the play The Call, being performed now by Vermont Stage in Burlington, Annie and Peter are married and have struck out when it comes to having a baby biologically. So they're turning to adoption, and they're thinking about adopting a baby from Africa. Annie and Peter are white. Their baby would most certainly not be. And when they do get the call from the adoption agency saying there's a child they could adopt, they discover it's not even a baby, but a girl who might be 4 years old. The play explores Annie and Peter's reactions to these life changes, and it raises thorny questions about cross-cultural and transracial adoption. As part of the production, Vermont Stage has weekly community conversations called Talk Back Thursday, where the audience is invited to stay after the performance and grapple with some of the ideas that come up in the work. Vermont Stage has invited people who work at Lund, an agency that coordinates hundreds of adoptions in Vermont every year, to be part of that conversation. We're going to talk about adoption today and how the play opens people to the challenges and pitfalls of learning and growing as transracial and cross-cultural families. Joining us for this conversation is Christina Alisea, Artistic Director of Vermont Stage and Director of The Call. Welcome back to the show, Christina.
Thanks for having me.
Tino Rutanhira is an actor who plays the character Alemu in The Call. Hello, Tino. Nice to have you on the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Wanda Audette is Director of Adoption at Lund. Wanda, it's a pleasure to talk with you today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Christina, could you start off by giving us a little bit deeper of a synopsis of the play than I got into? I haven't seen
that
it.
That was a pretty good synopsis,
well,
I have to say.
I really want to see this play. It sounds wonderful. But
you should definitely come.
What am I missing?
Well, you know, for me, this play, it's definitely about adoption. It's also the struggle of becoming becoming a parent. That's, I think, the heart and soul of this. This is a family that, you know, that has gone through all the various stages, you know, from trying to conceive naturally to doing IVF to then deciding they're going to adopt and then figuring out where and how. And it really just is a portrait of sort of this struggle that many, many families are, go through to build their family. And so that's really, you know, and one other aspect of it, too, that I think isn't really covered in the synopsis is that it paints sort of this picture of American life versus life outside of the United States. And, within that play, there are two couples. There's an African-American lesbian couple, and then there's Annie and Peter who are trying to adopt. And all four of them are upper middle class Americans that are living within sort of the same little bubble of life. And the way that they experience life is very similar, despite the fact that the lesbian couple's African-American and the Annie and Peter are white, Caucasians. So, you know, it's they're in their own little world and how they communicate, and they're friends and they're longtime friends. So within friends, we have our own little extra circles. Right. And then the other piece of it is sort of how their views relate to, their experience of a new neighbor who is from an African country and a recent immigrant and how he views them and their differences culturally and how those interact.
And Tino, that neighbor is played by you. That is Alemu in the production. Can you talk a little bit about how Alemu is inserted into this group dynamic and how he tries to influence the characters or push them?
Absolutely. So Alemu is from Africa. We don't really know exactly where in Africa he's from, but we've sort of made some assumptions within the play. And he's sort of a peculiar neighbor, not in sort of the lovable Kramer type of fun neighbor, but more of an annoying kind of neighbor, but really annoying only because of the fact that he is not from the same cultural and class background as Peter and Annie and their two friends. And so Alemu's differences are somewhat celebrated in the play, but also, for lack of a better word, ridiculed because of the fact that he's so different. And the ridicule comes from Peter and Annie and their friends. But his role really is pivotal. I mean, even though he's a minor character in the play, it's his relationship that he strikes with Annie that kind of dictates how the play goes. And without him, I think the play would not even be anything close to being the same. And so his role really is to try and convince Annie that this decision to adopt a child from Africa is something that not just she needs to do because she should do it, but it's almost like a moral obligation that she should adopt a child.
He thinks she should adopt a child from Africa because of it's a moral obligation.
Yes, absolutely.
Does he also, though, push back on some of her preconceived notions about what that might be like and you know, not just parenthood, but what her ideas of quote-unquote Africa are?
Yeah, actually, one of my favorite lines in the play, without giving away too much, is that you want a child from Africa, but you do not want Africa. So in other words, to sort of try and have a child from there, but without all the quote-unquote baggage that's associated with the African continent and all the negative things that we have kind of been accustomed to hearing about what goes on over there, which unfortunately is not always the case, and that we don't really get to see the positive things that are coming out of the continent.
Well, it's almost like there's a one-note idea of what Africa is, and people aren't seeing the complexities of, first of all, different countries, but also of cultural expressions and differences and different ways that communities are structured. You know, there's that sort of one idea, this is my idea of Africa, and you're not seeing a whole complex region with many different kinds of people and structures and communities.
And the playwright, Christina, actually, you know, she makes it a specific point to not say exactly what country it is. It's always, whenever they talk about it, it's always Africa, the continent, not the country. And so, and that's even a joke line in the play. And so, you know, it was a very specific choice to point at that, that notion that, you know, Americans really do, for the most part, see it as this big nebulous thing. And the identity of the entire continent is the same, regardless of what country you're from.
And actually, I don't know, people just don't realize there's, at least on the last count, there's about 56 countries in Africa. And in each individual country, you've got, you know, cultures within that. Just like here in the United States, you've got states, and not to confuse people by equating states to countries, but even within the United States, you've got all these states that, and each state has its own identity and its own unique characteristics that make up that state. And, you know, so I think people need to sort of view or think about that when they think about Africa, and that it's not just one country that has, you know, everything looks the same and feels the same.
Christina, before we get into talking with Wanda about adoption, I'm curious, we've talked to you before about these Talkback Thursdays that you have. This is not the first production that Vermont Stage has done that has tackled complex and interesting and perhaps difficult conversations for people to have as a community, and then said, not only are we going to have this play, but we're going to have conversations about it. Why do you want to do that? Why do you have these community engagement activities around your plays?
Well, for me, I think Vermont Stage's the concept behind doing theater in general is not just to entertain, but we're also starting a meaningful conversation in our community about the issues that are raised in the plays. You know, I think when people come to see theater, especially at Vermont Stage, my goal is for them to laugh, cry, you know, have the amazing experience that theater, you know, live theater provides, but then also to go afterward and talk to their friends and families about, you know, something that came up for them. And, you know, these community conversations just take that one step further and invite people to stay after a show. And, you know, and for us, we rarely have the conversation to be about the play itself, but the social issues raised. So which is why, you know, we invited our friends from Lund to come and be our talkback panelists for this show, because, you know, what they offer in the community is exactly what this play is discussing. And with each of these talkbacks, that's what we try to do, is bring, you know, leaders from our community that are doing work in these meaningful areas that, you know, impact all of our lives.
Wanda Audette is also with us today, Director of Adoption at Lund. And Wanda, why was this something that Lund wanted to be a part of, these conversations and sort of community engagement around this play?
Well, we felt very honored to be approached by Christina to be able to do the talk back Thursday, because it gives an opportunity for us to do some education about the topic of adoption, as well as the topic of race, transcultural adoptions. Because like you said, the importance of people engaging in that conversation and thinking about it, and it's really good education.
We should say Lund facilitates or coordinates and makes possible a couple hundred, 300 or so adoptions in Vermont every year, but you do not do foreign adoptions anymore.
Correct. We're not doing foreign.
And that's because?
There's a lot of changes that happen in international adoption. And so probably in the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, we stopped doing international adoption due to the Hague, due to the fact that lots of families were engaging to go, and then agencies were going under and families were losing their money. It was taking a really long time, and there were so many kids here in Vermont and in the United States that needed families, and also wanting to look at, you know, other agencies that had in-country people that were working there that could help move things along, whereas Lund did not have an in-country agency.
Nonetheless, there are issues that Lund deals with, that your families that you work with are dealing with, that are brought up and sort of swirling around in this play. And I'm hoping maybe you could highlight a few of them so we can start to get into some of the issues that are at play when we think about adoption. Because even if you're not doing foreign adoptions, there are certainly cultural differences, racial differences that families need to grapple with as they go through the adoption process and then become and maintain their family structure through the years.
Correct. We start out every adoption with every couple that comes in to actually have an informational meeting, so that we sit down and we talk to them about what they're thinking about. Because lots of times people have in their head a thought and an idea, and it's maybe not the correct thought and idea. And so we talk to them about that, because race does matter. People have to go through a home study process so that we have a social worker that's assigned to their case, their family, and talking to them about grief and loss. That comes up a lot in the play. Whereas
grief over not being able to have a biological child?
Yes. And then you needing to make sure that, you know, that whether it's an individual or a couple, can let go of their responsibility in that. Like Annie had a lot of responsibility that she was sort of carrying on in the play about, you know, how her body was not allowing her to conceive, you know, a child, and what does that mean? And so we want to make sure that people have made peace with that before looking at adoption, no matter what type of adoption that you're going to look at, because if you haven't made peace with that, it's really hard to then parent a child that's not born to you. So, you know, that the home study process is a really in-depth process that helps people look at that. The home study social worker asks lots of questions to make the couple or make the individual person, if it's a single person, really think about letting go with that, really understanding that while adoption is amazing joy, there's lots of grief and loss that is involved with every member of the adoption triad. And you have to acknowledge that.
You also ask people to go through an even deeper questionnaire and more thinking in order to get approved to adopt a baby who is not the same race as the parents. Would Lund have approved Annie and Peter to go through this adoption process?
Lund would have had Annie and Peter do a lot more work, around the grief and loss and letting go and forging together as a couple, and then really talking to them about, you know, love is not enough, and that race does matter, and that there is white privilege. And, you know, you sort of have to look outside of your own immediate relationship and the families and the people that you're going to be connecting with to make sure that you are well prepared to adopt outside of your race.
Listeners, if you'd like to share your questions or your own family's perspective, we would love an example of some of the things that we're talking about and maybe some of the things that you've been challenged by, some joys of cross-cultural transracial adoption, some really hard, honest truths. Post your thoughts or your questions on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. And let's go to Grace, who's calling in from Barnet. Hi, Grace. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to reflect on my experiences as an adoptive parent of an African-American child who came in 1990 at the age of 9 months. And she had, you know, she has turned into a magnificently beautiful, brilliant, and talented adult living in New York. She had some exposure to more cultural diversity because she went to St. Johnsbury Academy, which I think was a good thing, was a great thing for her. She also happened to have more experience living in black cultures, both for about 6 months in Jamaica, and had a black stepfather for a while, and we lived in Washington, D.C. for a couple of years when she was small. So she's had some exposure to and connection to black cultures, which also I think was important. Now she lives in Brooklyn and is a successful young professional and doing great.
Grace, thank you so much for calling in. You can hear the proud mom there talking about her daughter. And, you know, when Grace talks about her daughter being able to experience black culture in various different places, Wanda, that's something that you actually bring up with families when you're going through the adoption process. You sent us along the questionnaire, one of the questionnaires that families or individuals have to fill out. And mm-hmm. part of it is, what kind of interactions do you have with people who are not of your same race or don't share your same cultural background? How will you help your child have experiences that may help them reflect on their own biological cultural background or their race? Why is that important?
I mean, it goes back to, we have to acknowledge that racism does exist and the importance that we're making sure that our children that are a different race than ours have the ability to have that exposure to see, you know, people that are of a different race, different color. They are professionals in the world, that they're school teachers, that, you know, we're looking at that and making sure that we're bringing to them their culture, their heritage. We can't ignore it.
Tino, you are playing a character whose role in the call is to push this couple. And you mentioned that part of your character, Alemu, is to say this is a moral obligation, that they should adopt a child from Africa. But in some ways, that's also not part of the problem, but there has to be more than this feeling of either moral obligation or moral superiority that you're going to protect a small child from what would surely be a terrible childhood. How do you personally reflect on that role of your character in pushing this couple as you do?
Yeah, it's a very challenging role to take on. And I sort of feel, though, how Alemu feels, because I think from my own cultural background, you do things for your family regardless of how you feel or how the rest of society operates. And I find that especially so living here in America, where it's a more individualistic society. And I think that's where Alemu has that conflict, because he feels that it's a moral responsibility to just take children, no matter how old or what their background is like. And I see it when I think back to how I grew up. I don't know if I necessarily knew people that were adopted in Zimbabwe until I came here to America, but the people were being adopted. It's just that it was all happening very informally. You'd have, you know, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters taking on the parenting role because the biological parents passed away, and that all just sort of happens naturally because of the fact that you have sort of that blood relation, and that doesn't really translate to how things operate here. And one of the lines in the play that the character Drea says is that when my people adopt, we don't always hire an agency. And
Drea is one of the members of the lesbian couple who are both African-American.
Yes, exactly. I think it sort of translates to maybe the African-American community here in America as well, that you know, you just step up and you do what you have to do for your family members. Now, when it's somebody who's completely different, who's not related to you, it's a whole new dynamic.
Christina, what do you see in terms of this sort of ugly, honest truth that people need to confront before they decide whether to adopt outside their race, that are brought up in the play and that may be coming out in these conversations?
Well, you know, one theme or thing that keeps coming up throughout the play is they sort of make jokes earlier in the play about how they're going to have to do her hair, the daughter that they adopt, and that they're going to have to figure out how to do a black girl's hair because it's different than just a, you know, regular a white person's hair. And it's sort of laughed about. And then later in the play, it's brought up a little more seriously because really at the end of the day, it's not really about the hair. It's an acknowledgement of difference and that this, you know, this child is not the same as you, is not going to be perceived in the world the same way as you're perceived. And, you know, you can raise your child, you know, as wonderfully in your own home and love your child as much as you can. But like all parents have to do, you have to send them out into the world and they're exposed to all sorts of things that are outside of your control. And I think that's something that's really discussed a little bit in the play is that, you know, it isn't about as much about the parents and what they're going to go through, but really it's about the child and what the child is going to go through. And you know, that's something that has to be considered in this. And I think the character of Olemu brings that part of it to the heart of this, where it isn't about how you feel as much as it, like, you know, these children that are abandoned, that are, you know, that need parents, they need families, and there's lots of people that could provide families, but, you know, what stops them often is, you know, their own sort of self-interest, which, of course, is important. You want to make sure that these are committed people that really want a child and want to take on a child. But I think that has to, in the end, be first and foremost is, you know, what is the person going to go through, this child?
Wanda, how do you help parents address that? Because, you know, as they're thinking about adoption, even as you think about all of these things and really work hard on yourself, for all parents, there's that fear of wanting to make sure that your child can move through the world as protected as possible and as loved. And I imagine that's also sometimes a barrier to adoption, is that you don't necessarily know how to do right by your child or do best for your child. So how do you help parents who are really worried about getting this all right?
Right. Well, parenting is the hardest job in the world. And really, we do a lot of acknowledging of that. And there's no book that's going to teach us how to be a good parent. But what we look at is one's own ability to be willing to ask a question, to know that love is not enough. You need love, but love is not enough. And that you're willing to educate and you're willing to acknowledge. That's another downfall that can happen is that people don't acknowledge that there, you know, there could be issues. That you're willing to educate yourself and also your child and also your, you know, your circle of friends and your community, and that you're getting a lot of exposure. So, you know, we really do a lot of discussing and talking about that. And one of the requirements that we have for adoptive families that are going to be adopting outside of their race and culture is to get an additional 6 to 8 hours of training. And part of that training is coming to the transracial training that we offer here in Vermont. And if people can give me a call at Lund and we can get them, you know, set up to be able to attend. But it's really a wonderful opportunity for people to come together, for people to have discussions, to have hard discussions, and to be learning from other people that have adopted.
Tino?
Yeah, I just want to praise what the work that you guys are doing, because I know in Vermont it's not a very culturally and racially diverse state, and so to adopt a child that's from another race, I mean, that's a big deal. And then to then try and expose them to their own culture when there's not even the requisite number of people around to be exposed to, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you guys are actually trying to help people to get over that barrier, because I can only imagine how challenging that must be for parents that are considering this but are afraid that, you know, the realities are there's not a lot of different races around to interact with.
Tino, how do you try to maintain a connection to your youth and to your cultural background in Zimbabwe, now living here in Vermont with those same issues?
It's incredibly challenging. I mean, you miss everything about home, you know, from just the food, the communication, the camaraderie, all the memories that you'd have. I mean, even just talking about things that happened in school, just very grateful for technology, because now you can join WhatsApp groups, you can FaceTime people and sort of keep up that way. And I think maybe what Christina also alluded to earlier was that even with African Americans that have lived here, it's not the same as Africans that live here. You know, it's almost as if you're two different races. And I personally don't like to use the word race, because I think there is only one race, but heritages, you know, and it's hard to even though people see you as Black people, or, you know, we do have significant differences. And so even if you do end up befriending an African-American, it's not the same as befriending an African.
Christina, are there things that you learned in doing this play about adoption and cross-cultural adoption that surprised you?
Well, I feel like I learn everything at Talk Back Thursdays when Wanda comes in and talks about the various services they provide at Lund. I feel like I've learned more in that. But in the work that we've been doing with this play, what the playwright tees up is the notion of American culture versus African culture, you know, which is just the stark contrast to what Tino was alluding to, isn't something that I'd really thought about. And so that has been a really interesting thing.
Christina Alisea is Artistic Director of Vermont Stage and Director of The Call, which is running through May 7th, right? And one more Talkback Thursday. Wanda Audette is Director of Adoption at Lund. Lund coordinates hundreds of adoptions each year. Wanda, thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
And Tino Rutenhira is an actor who plays the character Alemu in The Call. Tino, thank you for sharing your perspective.
Thank you so much for having me.